quite a lot left to do today. Just to close out the transport report, that this report be received, I move in that direction. Have a seconder, please. Councillor Noon, all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Back to the start of the report, the director's report. It's got the long-term plan timetable there, the process we've got to go through, and update on the Alex Owen and Queensland offices. Mr Donnelly, anything else there that needs highlighted?
No, I could. I'll just take that as read. As the long-term plan is just an update, so keep those dates in front of everybody. They're aware rates. We always just note the percentage that we collected on the day, which percentage is the same as what it was the previous year. And we're working through the move in Alex and a bit slower through the setup of Queenstown, and hope to have that up and running by the end of February.
Yep. Very good. Any questions, queries, read this report? Everyone happy?
I move, Mr Chairman, that it's noted.
Be received.
Or received, and, yep. And B, that the payment summarised in the table below be endorsed.
Yep. Seconder, please. Councillor Hope. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Next report, the finance report to the 30th of September, 3 month report.
What page is that, Mr Chair?
12 of
24. 12. Thank you.
Yep. Mr Donnelly, anything to highlight there?
No, again, I'd take it as read. The front page with the deficit, there is a deficit. You'll see that there is less revenue. That's largely around the other revenue, which is in relation to the timing of bus revenue. The new services were scheduled in the budget start from the beginning of the year, and they didn't come into play until later. So it's really timing. It's offset by lower revenue, lower expenditure in relation to those services. Although overall the expenditure is higher than budget, the biggest driver of that is the additional expenditure in relation to the July floods.
Yep. Okay, there's unders and overs there and timing issues. Councillor Scott.
Note 4.1 and note 4.2, land and water, where the under expenditure, there's a 67,000 under expenditure in Wilding Pines. And I must say that surprised me, just because in one ear we, you know, people want money out of us. Is that the ORC money or is that the government money?
That's the government money. So
okay, so it's relatively minor then.
Yeah, well, yeah. So the ORC money has has been fully spent. We've paid the 100,000 to each of the two groups.
Yeah.
The other money, the government money, the budget was spread evenly across the year. We've only just finalised the agreement with MPI. And this is what happened last year. So it takes us the first 6 months to finalise the agreement, and then the work and activity all happens over the second 6 months of the year.
And the other one is the rural water quality implementation activities under expended by 386,000 due to the being deferred by the July flood event and the mycoplasma bovis outbreak. I'm just not so sure about this. Like, we just sort of accept that from a governance perspective that, hey, the staff need to be diverted to more important things. Whereas it seems to me that these dairy farm inspections, which is what it is actually a core activity, and there's certain times of the year where the risk is the highest. And now it's been postponed to another, you know, to a later period, just kicking off now until there's a financial, you know, note here. It just seems to me this core activity is playing second fiddle to issues that will inevitably occur. So, for example, you know, floods are always going to occur, unfortunately. Even the mycoplasma outbreak, I think there's going to be more and more, all these things happening. And every time we're diverted from a core activity, and I'm not actually sure that that's actually good practice. We've got a risk and audit committee. You know, can I ask that there's some consideration to, well, how do we handle these situations in the future? So, for example, we've got a potential drought situation looming, and I can just see it now. You know, everybody will be diverted to the drought, and there'll be a financial implication and so forth. But really, you know, is it actually good enough when we've got these other obligations that, in my view, are very important? So can I ask that the Risk and Audit Committee actually just look at how some of these situations are actually managed? That, for so the key point, I suspect, is if we can't divert people from the inspections, the dairy inspections, or maybe less of them, where do we get these other people from? You know, do we have some type of contingency thing, or is this the way it's going to be?
Mr. Donnelly.
Yeah, the issue of what happens when something unbudgeted comes up, like the flood, and how that impacts on our ongoing work programs, it is a fairly consistent question that comes up. So there is obviously that risk there that we don't get through the existing work program. There's also, this report is up until September. So obviously, you know, end of July and then through August, the time was diverted. I believe, and maybe Miss Sutton can comment on it a bit, in the rural water quality area, there's still work, the work program's still being developed as well. So there's still there's still the ability to I believe that there was they were going to be looking at some contractors.
Different topic. What this actually says is the Rural Water Quality Implementation Act is under expended by 386,000 due to dairy farm inspections being deferred. So that's a different thing than the catchment group.
Oh, the risk assessment.
The risk assessment,
yeah,
okay?
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, from my perspective, what I, you know, I'm talking as one councillor from a governance, I'm querying why, for example, if you had a team of six people, why at least two or three of them weren't carrying on. So at least the dairy farmers realised that on a risk, we can still do the high risk ones and in the critical period.
Yeah, the decision was made when that event was on that we did defer them as well over that period. Now, that's not to say that, and I have to ask Mr. McLean, whether that works, those inspections are still going to get caught up later, and that's just a timing difference.
It's a timing difference. Yeah. I understand that, but it's not... Because it's a timing difference, it's also the risk is, the profile has changed in terms of, you know, for example, is, you know, does this, the dairy farm have saturated soils because of the rain, the moisture content, or at this time of the year it might be less. Councillor Robinson's dying to say something.
Yeah.
So
just that we deliberately did defer those. Is that that's what Mr. Donnelly was trying to say? Absolutely, the profile would be different. We didn't do the inspections because people were under water, and we gave them some leeway, I suppose, during that severe event, and said we'll come and inspect you later on. But in the meantime, we can't really control the fact that there's water everywhere. So we didn't do the work in that timing deliberately. Not to say that Councillor Scott doesn't have an issue that, say, if something does come up that's an emergency, that sometimes we do divert resources into that, if there's an incursion, say, biosecurity or something. So perhaps that's really, an issue. What do we do when we need core work to be going on and an emergency happens? Certainly an issue, but I don't think this is the example to illustrate
well,
it.
Well, for example, not every dairy farm was covered by that amount of water. So, for example, I would assume, correct me if I'm wrong, that in, you know, there's plenty of dairy farms in other areas, in central Otago and north Otago, could be wrong, that that, you know, that the focus could maybe have switched to, or whatever. Just say, I'm just saying that I don't think this is the first time where it's possibly viewed, taken in a secondary sort of way.
Councillor Neil.
I'm more or less, Councillor Robertson has said really what I was going to say, but to me, I mean, that was a management decision at the time, and it was made for very good reasons. they would have had a schedule, and it's not for me to say because I'm not managing them, but they would have had a schedule, and presumably half those farms that were on the schedule were underwater, weren't going to be compliant anyway for that matter, but that's beside the point. The last thing a dairy farmer who's underwater wants is a bloody dairy regional council inspector saying, "I'm coming to do my thing," when he's trying to clean everything up. So, I mean, I think he's way barking up the wrong tree.
Any other comment?
I agree, Mr. Chairman. I think we've put a lot of time into an issue which isn't red hot. A bigger issue for me right now is the fact that directors don't attend committee meetings. That's bothering me as the day goes on. I know there's been an inundation at Roxburgh, but why did we send a director when the committees are meeting all day and tomorrow? It could have been anybody go to Roxburgh. The directors should be here when the committees are meeting.
Yeah, the decision to send Scott was we got the call yesterday from CODC. Obviously, we'd had staff up there who weren't as senior, and the decisions that needed to be made needed somebody more senior than the staff that we had in that area. And so, I made the decision and asked Scott to go because just with the issue that's up there, it's unfortunate that he couldn't be here today, but I thought it was more important that he attended and made those decisions today, because the work had to actually get underway, and we didn't have the opportunity to delay it another day or two.
Any other comment? If not, I'll move this report be received. Seeing the police, Councillor Noon. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried.